I just get such a strong sense that people have had an extremely, extremely difficult week. That difficult might mean different things to different people. I'm going to ask us, the worship team, to lead us in that song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, one more time. And as you're seated there, would you practically think of your issue? Picture yourself in the heat of battle, in the midst of the drama, the pain, the heartache, the suffering, the fear, the anxiety, the despair, the confusion, the bitterness, the hatred, whatever it is. Would you picture that thing in front of you? And when you sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, would you imagine yourself saying, okay, Lord, there's this thing that I don't know how to deal with it, God. I don't know what to do. It's overwhelming. The Psalm says in Psalm 61 and verse 2 that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I know that there are people here this morning. You're putting up such a brave front. You're putting up such a bold facade. But you're on the brink of cracking. You want to throw in the towel. You want to give it all up because nothing is making sense. If that's you this morning, would you just turn your eyes upon Jesus? Look at that thing. Waarvoor jy nie 'n oplossing het nie. Jy sien nie 'n uitkoms nie. Dit voel asof jou gebede nie verantwoord word nie. Niemand stuur vir jou 'n bemoedigende teksversie. Jy sien nie hoop nie. Jy sien 'n tunnel. Daar's hier is 'n eindpunt van die tunnel. Wat nog van lig aan die einde van die tunnel? As you sit there, turn your eyes to Jesus. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, despised the cross and the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Would you personalize the song this morning as we turn our eyes on Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can gaze upon you this morning, Lord God, as you gaze upon us, and that you look at our hearts, you look at our lives, you look at our victories and our failures, and God Almighty, you see us through the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, that you're well pleased with what you see this morning, because in this place, there's faith, and in this place, there's grace. In this place, there's room to grow and to learn, and to bump our heads and to trip and to fall. And there's place for you to pick us up again, dust us off, wrap your arms around us and say, it's okay, my son. It's okay, my daughter. I've got this and I've got you. We thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you to the Deep End for leading us in a time of soulful worship. It's awesome. How many of you were not here last week Sunday? I'm not going to struff you, neither is the Lord. Can you just put up your hands? Okay. How many of you are here for the second time? That's the rest. We spoke about Psalm 91, just to recap, about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. We look at key words from that text verse, which speaks about dwells, secret, and shadow. Our dwell means to just hang around long enough in God's presence till you get what you need from Him and don't rush off into the day. The secrets is the special things that God reveals to you, His special gems from His Word that He makes rhema in your heart and in your life. And the special things that God gives to you that's just for you because you are you. The special way He loves you, the special way He cares for you, not just His general love for the world. And shadows, we spoke about what it is to come into out of a place that demands limelight attention. Most of social media stuff today revolves around being seen and being heard and being liked and being shared and being subscribed and being and people want to be in the limelight because there's such a deep need and longing in people to feel that they are worth something, to feel that they belong. And people go off the rails when we do not fully realize who we are in Christ Jesus. If you don't realize, truly realize, my brother and sister, and I'm not talking about knowing the chapter and the verse. I'm talking about having a spiritual conviction in the core of your being. If you don't know how valuable and precious you are to God Almighty, to King Jesus, to the gentle Holy Spirit, you will always seek the attention and approval of other people through various means. And coming out of the limelight, going to the shadows, God will show you who you are. I'm going to ask the guys to ready a video clip. We humoristically looked at how people are freaking over social media. I wonder what it would be like in biblical times. Well, we are in biblical times, but in the times that are written between Genesis and Maps. Are you with me? What would it have been like if they had selfie sticks? If they had cell phones, if they had GoPro cameras, or what's 360, what's the brand that makes the 360 one called 360? Somebody help me. Anyway, if they had that kind of stuff, what kind of selfies would they take and what would it look like? Can we just kill the center lights just to give it like maximum effect for a second, please, before that plays? There we go. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Is Daniel in the lion's den? Jonah about to be swallowed by the fish. Moses and the Israelites. Look at those millions of hartnekkiges. Abraham and Isaac. Sure. About to be sacrificed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ezekiel in the valley of bones. Paul and Silas in prison. Like, what's up? When are we getting out of here? Awesome. Thank you. Bless you guys. All right. This week, we're going to look at the fact that the fear of the Lord is learnt. We learn the fear of the Lord when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We're also going to see that the fear of the Lord and humility, those things, the fear of the Lord and humility teaches us His ways, which is how to do things, and teaches us His paths. In other words, the direction in which to go or which decisions to make and how to choose. We're going to see how the fear of the Lord results in godly prosperity. Everybody say godly prosperity. We're going to see there's a big difference. And we're also going to see how the fear of the Lord protects us from trouble, all sorts of trouble, concerning our health, safety, finances, relationships, etc., etc., etc. That's what we're going to look at this week. And the overview comes from Psalms, the 25th chapter, and all 14 verses. So as jy lank laas jou Bybel gelees het, gaan jy oefening kry vir oggend om saam met ons bietjie Bybel te lees. Are you ready to receive something from the Lord this morning? Father, thank you that as we look at your word, we pray that it moves beyond the limitation of my speech. You promise that you are watching over your word to perform it, and that it will achieve the things for which you send it forth. Nobody wants to hear my sermon, least of all me. We want to hear from God Almighty. And as we look at your word, Lord, thank you that you change us, that you mold us, that you make us more like Jesus, giving us a deeper understanding of your heart and what it is you want us to do with this message and how we must go and live it out when we leave this building this morning. In Jesus' name. High five your brother and sister. Say, God's going to speak to you this morning. Come on, man. Come on. Raak opgewonde. Faith it until you make it. Faith it until you make it. Psalm 25, verse 1 to 14. Let's go. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. And show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. Hy sê so, ek het heavy droog gemaak. Dis wat het beteken. He says, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Bring it on, Lord. Wat 'n erfenis, né? Sommige van ons het 'n verwagting vir 'n kreerandjie of 'n geweer of 'n eiendom of 'n kar of 'n kettingkie of 'n ietsie. Maar wat as jou erfenis die hele aardbol is, julle? Het julle iets om uit te sien? Can somebody raise their hands this morning? En die res van julle? Is julle gelukkig met second best? Nee, ek soek nie 'n ou plot daarsom, ons is goed. Wat van die hele aardbol, man? Dis ons erfenis as kinders van die Here in Christus. Somebody get excited and not just me. Starting to feel a bit out here. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord. The secret. Remember years ago, there was an advert, a chocolate in the market called Whispers. And it was advertised like this. If you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. If you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. And there was this beautiful set of luscious red lips. You will net stick and fray. That eats the whisper chocolate. If you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. It's like that. Just have a normal conversation with somebody and then start going to, and people are like, maybe I can get in some gossip here. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. We're going somewhere with this church. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Okay, let's unpack this. First of all, in verse 4, there's a plea and there's a cry for help. There's a plea and a cry for help. It's like saying, God, come on, man. Do something. Can't you see where I'm at? Can't you see what I'm going through? Can't you see how messed up I am? I've tried everything and it's not working. The harder I work, the worse it gets. The more I strive, the less I have. Lord, everything's broken around me. I'm too messed up to even try. That's the background of this. And it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Show me your ways and teach me your paths. The ways of God is how he wants us to do things. That's his ways. Contrary to popular belief, he actually knows better than you and me. Did you get that? Ten spyte van wat ons dink, God actually knows better. In spite of what the world says, in spite of how they criticize Jesus, how they mock believers, how they try and disprove the Bible, in spite of that, God actually knows best. And the psalmist just says, God, I'm paraphrasing now, and this is from the chapter 11:10 of the book of Mozzie. Lord, I'm tired of doing everything myself. Just show me how to do it, God. Like, come on now, show me how to do it. Ek is moeg gesukkel. That's his ways. And his paths is practically his path. Like, I know generally as I stand here, like Cape Town, let me get my bearings here. Cape Town is probably like down there somewhere. That's the way. But the path is, you take this route number, that route number, turn here, turn left. In 600 meters, turn, take the exit. You get where we're going? That's the paths and the ways. All right. Now, we will only learn the paths and the ways if we are humble and teachable. There was a time when one of the mentors, in fact, he was the only one at that time, mentor in my life, he asked, oh, I had an issue, and I went to him. That's what mentors are for, to speak life and tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it. Hello. Hello. I went to him with an issue, and he asked me to quote a scripture. And I started reading it, and I said something like, et cetera. And he said, I'm so glad you said that. So what do you mean? He says, because that et cetera, you're just taking it for granted that you can't get any more revelation from that verse and chapter that you can quote out of several translations. You see, I'd become unteachable. I know it all. I know it. I can quote it. And that's a dangerous place to be. For us to learn God's ways, people, we have to remain humble and teachable. Niemand kan jou niks leer nie. You're so cool, you give God advice on his off day. Jy kry sulke mense. Jy kan hulle niks vertel van niks nie. Hulle weet alles. Selfs dit wat hulle nie weet nie. Hulle weet dit ook. You've got to remain humble and teachable for God to show you these ways and paths, how to navigate through life. I've said this before, a humble man will learn from a child and get excited about John 3:16. Okay. And verse 11 of Psalm 25, it says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. Met ander woorde, ek hoor ons Afrikaans sprekende geliefde sê, Here, nie omdat ons dit verdien nie, maar alleen uit die genade, amen. It's like a routine, ons sê dit gereeld. You see, now that I'm trying to say it as fast as I pray it, I'm getting tongue-tied. Nie omdat ons dit verdien nie, maar alleen uit genade, amen. Not because I deserve it, Lord. Not because I'm a goody two-shoes. Not because I'm trying hard. Not because of all of this. But it's for your name's sake. It says, Lord, because you're good, because you're holy, because you're righteous, because you're consistent, because you're faithful, because you're true, even when I'm not, it's because of you, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me because my iniquities are great. The psalmist is coming in humility and saying, God, I know I've blown it, but because you are you and I am me, help me out of this. That's what he's saying over here. We will only learn if we fear the Lord. I had a very interesting discussion from a man that I grew up with from kleins af julle. I mean, the back boundary wall of our house, we shared the wall. And this guy was a couple of years ahead of us, so we always thought he was like super smart. Eh? And he's actually quite intelligent, but he's educated beyond his level of obedience. What does that mean? Let the Lord interpret that to you. You get educated beyond your level of obedience. You so know so much, but yet you're disobedient when it comes to the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit. Jy kry sulke mense. Hulle kan, they'll tell you the hermeneutics and the homiletics and all the polemics of the scripture and all those things, but when the Holy Spirit prompts them to just love their neighbor like themselves, they suckle with that. If we can only learn if we fear the Lord. If we fear the Lord. And this conversation that I had with this guy, he says, I said, look, but the word says so. No, I don't believe that. Why must I fear God? Why must I fear a loving Father? He was insistent on his ways, on what his interpretation and understanding of of the command in the scripture to fear the Lord, and then he wonders why he's battling in life. He wonders why he cannot relate to God as a father. Why? Because he's educated beyond his level of obedience. When the word teaches to fear the Lord, you know what it means? That means to fear the Lord. So you say, well, Mozzie, but I don't get it, because I know what fear means in my life. Fear means that if I've been riding very enthusiastically, passionately, and I know I've been doing 220 plus vat, and I'm Wurik, well, I don't hear the siren behind me because I can't keep up, but I see the O's jump in front of the street and it's blow lichter, and you get that, like, how many of you know that feeling I'm talking about? You think, oh, hier kom 'n boet of wat ek kan bekostig nie. Now I've got to be glad met die blackie, so you that? None of you ever experienced that. Okay, it means you don't ride fast enough, okay? You must... I nearly said try it sometime, but then you'll think this preacher's preaching bad stuff here. But you know what fear means to you, and you think, but Mozzie, how then does it mean you must fear God? I mean, he's a God of love, etc. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? How many of you like to learn this morning what the fear of the Lord is? I'm going to teach you. Well, the Bible's going to teach us. It says, it asks the question in verse 12 of Psalm 25. Who's the man that fears the Lord? Who's that man that fears the Lord? How many of you watched the opening of the Olympic Games in France? Does it look like those people fear the Lord? I wonder how God's going to deal with them. I pray that he deals with them graciously and patiently, like he does with me. You know? You see how people blaspheme Jesus and use the name of Jesus in vain? Even people in this church. Jesus. I'm just saying, don't feel convicted now, but it's a bad habit that we have, isn't it? Where does it come from? Or like, you know, okay, I'm delving a bit into language now, but I think I'll offend some people, so I'll rewind. Verse 12. Who's the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. If you fear the Lord, God will teach you his ways and his paths. If you don't fear the Lord, jylle gaan sukkel. Jy gaan sukkel. You're not going to learn his ways and his paths because you don't fear him. It says, who's the man that fears the Lord? Him. God will teach that person his ways and the way he chooses for your life. Are you learning something this morning, church? Moving right along. So what does it mean to fear the Lord, you ask? What is the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 18 and verse 3 teaches that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's a difference between hating evil and being afraid of its consequences. You see, if I fear sin, it might mean that I'm afraid to burn in hell one day. I'm afraid to be separate from God. I'm afraid to just experience an eternity of suffering. That's when I'm afraid of the consequences of sin. But if I hate sin, I hate the very appearance of it. I don't see how close I can live to the flames of hell and still slip into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I abstain from the very appearance and presence of anything that would hinder my walk with my King Jesus. That's the difference between hating what is sin. And church, there's a difference between hating the sin and loving the person. Did you get that? We're not called to hate the people. Because the only difference between the biggest sinner you know and you is the grace of Jesus. Hello. So hating evil is the fear of the Lord. So if the fear of the Lord gets him to teach us his ways and his paths, what do we need to do? We need to hate sin. When we hate sin, the Bible calls that the fear of the Lord. When we hate sin, God will teach us his ways and his paths. Are you getting the picture? There's a difference that we learn to hate what is sinful. Now, the benefit is in verse 13 of Psalm 25. We'll experience godly prosperity through the fear of the Lord. Godly prosperity. Now, much criticism has been thrown at what is known as the prosperity gospel. And rightly so. I've zoomed this thing in. And rightly so. What you say, well, what is the prosperity gospel? Here's one explanation. The prosperity gospel is where it is taught that you're going to experience health and wealth, health and wealth, health and wealth. Give your life to Jesus, health and wealth. Become a Christian, health and wealth. Sow, give, tithe, health and wealth. It's all you hear, and you never hear this key word. Repentance. 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 So for all of you, they want to know what the prosperity gospel is. It's not the true gospel as taught by Jesus. It's what the Bible calls the doctrine of demons. And all it teaches you is the health and the wealth of the promises of the word. As long as it makes me rich following Jesus because I tithe, as long as it keeps me healthy because he shed his blood, that's fine. But when it comes to repentance, no, I still want to stick to my own stubborn, sinful ways. That part of the gospel I don't want. That's known as the prosperity gospel, church. Jy bly weg van hy nonsens af, né? Wat van die res van julle? Don't you agree with me? Come on, church, are you alive this morning? Speak to me. We need to be careful. So, there's a difference between godly prosperity and worldly prosperity. Verse 13 of Psalm 25. He himself, now who's this himself? It's the man from verse 12. Thy Oki. That man who fears the Lord. He himself, the one who fears the Lord. So in other words, the one who hates sin. The one who hates sin shall dwell in the prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. How many of you do not want to be prosperous? Don't raise your hands. How many of you say, God, please stop blessing me? The bank have said I've got too much money. I can't deposit anymore. God, please stop blessing me. I don't like living in such luxury or goodness. Lord, please stop blessing me. I don't know who to give what away to who anymore. How many of you have said that? Oh. So, eintlik is julle normal. Because the book of Luke says that when you honor God, when you honor scriptural financial principles, nou hoor my mooi, ek sê nie, ek gee my tiendes, because jy kan dit nie gee nie in elk geval. Dis was nog nooit joune om te gee in die eerste plek. I'm not talking about that. It says, God will give you double measure, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing, shall men pour into your lap. Why men? So in other words, your boss is your source, no? They pay the salary, God is your source. But God uses people. God uses people under the unction of the Holy Spirit. It says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing will be poured into your lap so that you have no room to contain it. If you're not at that place where you have no room to contain it, what's missing then? What's missing? Because you're not blessed to be blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. We're not created to be cisterns that store stuff. We created to be channels of blessing through which the generosity of God flows. And it can mean financially, it can mean of your time, it can mean of your talents, it can mean of your, whatever your gifting is. Are you getting the picture this morning, church? So this is the prosperity that we're speaking about this morning. So is there anybody here, is there anybody that doesn't want to be prosperous? Okay, so we're like-minded. Moving right along. What does it mean to fear the Lord? We've said so. It means to hate evil. Okay. Worldly prosperity can be described as this. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. People misquote this. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. We need bucks. We need mullahs. We need it. It's the commodity of trading today. Take most people's dreams and visions if it involves some form of physical or practical thing. What's the one thing that's keeping them from stepping into their dream? Money, 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 must be money. It's a rich man's world. How many of you remember that song? If you don't, you're waarschijnlijk nog not achter die woorden or you didn't listen to it. That's fine. So the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Even Jesus needed money. He needed money to bring the offering, the taxes, temple taxes. He needed bucks. Okay? He had people specifically taking care of the finances in his ministry. Very specifically. One of them was a devil. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some, listen to this, They've strayed from their faith in their greediness. They've strayed from their faith in their greediness. En ja, ek is die grootste sondebok hiervan in hierdie gebou vanoggend. En ek daag enige een van julle om my verkeerd te bewys. I'm so guilty of this. It says this, ja, Mozzie, I learned hard lessons julle. It says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What does that mean? There's been many times in my life under the blood of Jesus now and in the past. Thank you, Lord. Where I've insisted on having something that I don't even need that I thought I wanted. Did you get that? I insisted on having something that I don't even need that I was convinced I wanted. And then I got it and it was like, meh. And that thing caused me so much issue, so much drama, so much heartache. I pierced myself through with many sorrows because of my greed. Don't raise your hand if you've been in that place before this morning, church. You see, that's worldly prosperity. What is godly prosperity? Godly prosperity, ek sien sommige kwaad met my because I preached that, eh? You think, yeah, Mozzie, it's not only you, it's me. In fact, I've just pierced myself through now with the sorrow. There's grace for that. Hallelujah. There's grace in this place. Come on, church. What's godly prosperity? Godly prosperity? Proverbs 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Somebody believes it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And you can interpret that rich however you want to. You can have it as far-fetched and abstract as you want, meaning I'm rich because I smile like Jesus. Or you can say I'm rich because I've been faithful with the small things, therefore God has entrusted me with the big things. I've been faithful with another man's stuff, therefore God has entrusted me with my own stuff to the point where I can be a blessing to people who have no stuff. Amen. Do you get the full spectrum, church? Hoekom is julle so stil vanoggend? Is julle kwaad met my? So, can you see the difference between worldly prosperity and godly prosperity? So, you want to say, I had a, you know what, ek het gesukkel, hoor jy, like I give God, okay, I can't give God gray hairs, but I mean, I must, if God could, hair could go gray, I've probably given him so many gray hairs, and there's people in ministry that have given me such gray hairs, I'm like, pull my hair, I'm like, dude, how can you be so stupid and still breathe? And then I realize, Mozzie, you're just as doff, you're just too proud to realize it. The oak says to me, No. You know, he likes to sickle because, he doesn't need all of this stuff. And I said, okay, that's great. It's like, you think it's a noble thought, but how are you ever going to be a blessing to anybody when you've got nothing to give? Is it just me or kan julle vereenselwig met daai gedagte? How can you be a blessing to somebody if you've got niks to give? You're so poor, you can't even pay attention. God doesn't want you there, church. He doesn't mind you having the millions. He just doesn't want the millions having you. Come on. Okay. That's Proverbs 10:22. And 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper. 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 I pray that you prosper. I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's scriptural. That's faith. That's God's heart. That's for you. That's for me. That's for all. How many of you want that this morning? En die rest van julle, sukkel maar voordan. That's fine. Sukkel maar voordan. Bly vasgesit in jou eie weer. Stay there then, man. It's your prerogative and God loves you and so do I. Miskien gaan jy op die punt kom in jou lewe waar jy's moeg gesukkel. Tot so ver in die media en sê, okay, God, I want your ways. Continue to try to make your own plans then. Don't fear the Lord. Dabble in sin. Compromise. Play around with this thing called life and this issue of faith. Suffer as much as you want to. Or come to him and say, God, just fix me, man. I'm such a royal mess. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. How are we doing for time, church? Can I preach some more this morning? The other benefit of this is we'll have godly protection through humility and hating what is evil. How many of you know we need supernatural protection these days in all forms? You need physical protection at your home. You do. If somebody wants to come in and kill your loved ones or do affirmative shopping, you need to protect them. Well, I feel it's biblical to protect your loved ones. That's my conviction. I don't know about you. You might think, no, well, turn the other cheek till they shoot your cheek off and whatever. Well, then that's fine. You do that. I'll do that. I'll get clapped this side, get clapped that side. Jesus gave no more instructions after that. After that, you better know Jesus because I'm going to send you to him. Okay? We need physical protection. We need financial protection. Why? Because there's somebody that the Bible calls the God of this age. His currency is the usury act. The usury act is unreasonably high insurance. That's how banks live. We need protection against shrinkage, inflation, diminishing returns. The harder you work, the less you have for it. Hello? Is there anybody out here this morning but were wat die Here vir jou sê? That's what it is. We need protection from that. How do you get protection from that? Honoring God financially. Nou gaan ek nie oor geld praat nie, want jy sal klaar kwaad met my. I don't want to make you more cross. We need protection from that. We need protection over our physical bodies. I don't know about you, as skinny as it is, and scars all over bruises, this is God's temple. This is God's temple. I need to protect this. I need to treat it with the honor and dignity and respect it deserves. I need physical protection to walk in the divine health that the Word of God promises me. What you do with your body is your sock. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need protection from these things, okay? We get protection through humility and hating what is evil. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, how many of you got watches on? What's the time? Can somebody tell me what the time is? Yourself, what's the time? Pardon? No, it's the time of trouble. In case you didn't know it, it's the time of trouble. We're in the time of trouble. Lankal. This country's in trouble. Its leaders are in trouble. Our youth is in trouble. Our marriages are in trouble. Our health is in trouble. Our future's in trouble. All of these things are in trouble unless you're in Jesus. Unless you're in Christ Jesus. Everything's in trouble. The economy's in trouble. Huh? We're in the time of trouble. So this is the time of trouble. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. And yeah, we get back to the secret places and I'm getting more excited. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the time of trouble. That means now, church. When it's this Nachtarbeiter. That's when God's going to take me and he's going to hide me in his pavilion. Why? Because we make the time to dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. So all hell can break loose around you. God will hide you in his pavilion. So you choose. Do you want to be out there in the midst of battle and let the devil use you as his plaything and his puppet and target practice and to steal, to kill, and to destroy? How much longer are you going to tolerate him doing that in your life before you come to God and let him hide you in his pavilion and protect you and care for you and love you like only he can? Only humility and the fear of the Lord gets us there. Nothing else. Nothing else. He'll hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. I want in on that. I want to see the secret places of God's tabernacle. What is tabernacle? It's where God dwells. It's where he is. I want him to say, come. Come, son. Check us out. You paid the price, Moz. I want to show you something. And he shows me more of his glory. He shows me more of his goodness. He shows me more of his plans. He shows me more of what he's got in the future for my life, for the life of others. I want in on those things. I want that. That's what I want. That's what I want. We're only going to get that through humility and fear of the Lord. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. May God help us to see the picture here and the image. He'll set me on a high rock. Why a high rock? Because a rock, the standvastig. It's not hollow like the stage. If I go, I'll get a pain up my shin if it's a solid rock. One of the names of Jesus is the Rock of ages. My name is on the... Jesus is my rock, and my name is on the roll. Written in his book. So if you want to rock and roll, Jesus is my rock, and my name is on the roll. One day soon I am going home. Jesus is a rock, and my name is on a roll. Somebody get excited, man. Come on. No, please, you better be tapping for Jesus. That, how can you not get excited upon this? He'll take you, hide you in his pavilion, in his secret place, show you the stuff, and he'll put you on a rock. From the rock, you can see. Lord, I was there. I was messed up. I was down in this messed up valley of lies, deception, compromise, sin, lust, abuse of this, abuse of... I was there, Lord. And Lord, graciously, Lord, you picked me up from that and set me here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I love you too, son. I love you too, daughter. Isn't that beautiful? We get there through humility and fear of the Lord. Sure. We'll experience God's goodness through the fear of the Lord. Last point before we start summarizing, and we're going to recap. A good preacher, I'm giving you secrets now. How many of you know secrets of preaching? Would you like to know? I'm going to tell you so that you can hold me accountable. Say, Mozzie, you slipped up in that sermon put. You moet bietjie meer vroeër opstaan en harder bid. A good preacher must tell you what he's going to tell you. Then he must tell you what he wants to tell you, and then he must tell you what he's told you. Think about it. That's the only way it gets in. You receive over 3,000 messages just on your way to church in all sorts of things, approximately in a day, apparently. I don't know how many on your way to church. So I've got to tell you what I want to tell you. Now, I've got to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I must tell you what I want to tell you, and then I must tell you what I've told you. So I'm getting to the point where I'm going to tell you what I've told you. Can I tell you again? Okay, enough, Mozzie, enough, enough. Colette would say, Mozzie, stop it now. Get on with it. Okay, so... We get godly protection through humility and hating what is evil. We looked at that. Sorry. We experience God's goodness through the fear of the Lord. We have this thing. God is? And all the time? But do we really realize how to get there? How do we get to experience God's goodness? Because we say that little Christian rhyme. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. We'll experience God's goodness through the fear of the Lord. You think, Mozzie, you know what? That Jesus stuff is just for you. I don't see the goodness of God anywhere in my life, man. It's just going bad with me. My prayers aren't being answered. This is happening. The tire's flat. It's so bad. It's flat on the bottom and it's flat on the top. It's just, you know, I'm so low. I feel like I can fly a kite under a carpet. It's just bad. Everything's wrong. So, okay, you're not experiencing the goodness of God. Tell me, but how's your level of fear of God? And you want to know why you're not seeing the goodness of God? Well, how's your fear of the Lord? Or it's just like, I know the big man upstairs, he's got my back, you know. I'm just going to go along doing my thing. But the fear of the Lord, which we've learned already, is hating evil. How's that in your life? Or do you embrace sinful things? It's like, you know, God understands, you know. I'm just trying my best, you know. He's a God of grace and mercy, so, you know. You want the goodness of God, dear one? Learn to fear the Lord. Learn to fear the Lord. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. So to summarize, church, I'm now going to tell you what I've told you. The fear of the Lord, or hating evil, teaches us God's ways and paths. The fear of the Lord, or hating evil, brings godly prosperity. The fear of the Lord, or hating evil, brings godly protection. The fear of the Lord, or hating evil, brings God's goodness over our lives. The fear of the Lord, or hating evil, is learnt when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm done preaching this morning. If you were here last week and you came up for prayer for deliverance from any form of addiction, etc., etc., I believe we need to make a public proclamation together. We're not want to put the spotlight on anybody this morning. Again, not at all. Not that that's ever our intention. But I believe, I strongly sense the Holy Spirit laid on my heart several times this week to get us to proclaim. We had one-on-one ministry over here, and it was great. But you, with your mouth, make a proclamation of faith to declare the deliverance of Jesus over your lives. Is that okay this morning, church? So as we close off this morning, I'd like us to all stand, please. I'd ask the deep end to come up one more time to minister to us. In fact, I've asked the deep end, you can just enjoy ministry this morning. I've asked the guys at the back to prepare a song for us. Right there where you're standing, and we'll make this proclamation together, but especially if you came up for ministry last week Sunday, and you came up because you're trusting God to set you free. You know, speak, Lord, your servant hears. If you're trusting God to set you free from some form of addiction, especially you this morning, but all of us together, please, that we can encourage one another and be there for each other. Is that okay? I want us all to make this following proclamation of faith. Why do we do this? Because we play childish little games in church. No, because I want congregants to jump to my tune when I say this, do that. No, because as the sound goes, so the atmosphere goes. As the atmosphere goes, so the battle goes. As the battle goes, so the destiny goes. So we got to speak the truth of God into the spiritual atmosphere in this place, as that whatever is bound in the heavenlies is bound on earth. Whatever is loosed in the heavenlies is loosed on earth. What that simply means is what is declared in the spiritual realm in faith will manifest in the physical realm on earth. That's what it means. That's why the scripture teaches us to do that in Matthew chapter 18. So that's why it's important for us to make a profession and a confession of faith with our mouths that Jesus Christ has set us free from all forms of bondage and addiction. Can you say amen? So this morning, let's do that. Because I'm telling you now, church, I just know it. I can sense this in my spirit. There's going to be a shift in the spiritual realm after what's going to be spoken and declared and shouted within the confines of the walls of this building this morning. Things are going to change in people's lives. And I just sense the Lord says this, whether you came up for prayer last week or not, it doesn't matter. There's people here that are suffering from addiction, and you're going to be set free because other people are going to speak it over your life as you declare it over your life this morning in Jesus' name. Because God is all powerful. That's what's going to happen this morning. People are going to walk in victory. And then we're going to ask this. If you have any form of sickness or disease or ailment or ache or pain or groan or creak in your body, and you believe with every fiber of your being that Jesus Christ has healed you by his stripes, that his blood has been shed for your healing, that he hung on a cross that you can receive divine health. If you believe what the Word of God teaches, that you can be prayed for and you'll receive healing, if that's you, we're going to invite you to come up afterwards. We're going to pray with you. I can't heal anybody. I can't even heal my own bad attitude, let alone your koala. God is the healer. Jesus is the healer, and he wants to reach out his healing hand and touch you this morning and heal your body. So we're going to make a proclamation of faith. Then those that have issues in their bodies are going to come, and God's going to heal you this morning. So let's get ready to make this proclamation of faith. I want you, with enthusiasm and faith this morning, say it so that the demon in the furthest part of hell can hear it this morning. As we say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you in faith. You're my God. You're my healer and my deliverer. Your anointing, Holy Spirit, destroys the yoke of bondage. Your anointing sets the captives free. In Jesus' name, by faith, I stand against the spirit of bondage. And I tell you, devil, I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus. Lord Jesus, you have set me free. And who you set free is free indeed. As of today, and as of now, and even from last week's prayer, I'm set free from my addiction. Never to be bound again. I walk in freedom and I walk in victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Satan, I don't belong to you. I belong to God Almighty. My body is God's temple. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in me. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you very much. If you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses